This is KBOO Portland. The time is 2:59. Coming up next on KBOO, a talk by Hank Willis Thomas, an African-American visual artist, photographer, and arts educator. And we'd like to take this opportunity to again thank KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate, or by calling 877-500-5266.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco on Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Journalist Chris Hedges and award-winning cartoonist Joe Sacco wrote the best-selling book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, together. Their talk includes a discussion about sacrifice zones, areas in America that have been offered up for exploitation in the name of profit, progress, and technological advancement. Again, that's Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco, Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hank Willis Thomas is a photoconceptual artist who creates work focused on themes of identity, race, media, and popular culture. He recently spoke at Oregon State University, and KBOO was there. And now, here's Hank Willis Thomas.
Thank you so much. I'm going to start with just a clip from a five-channel video installation that I did in the work of James Baldwin. It's called The Person Who's More Important Than Anything Else.
It seems to me that the artist struggle for his integrity must be considered as a metaphor for the struggle which is universal and daily of all human beings on the face of this terrifying globe to get to become human beings. What we might get at this evening, if we are lucky, if the mic doesn't fail, my voice holds out, if you ask me questions, is what the importance how this effort is.
Now, when you were starting out as a writer, you were a black, impoverished, homosexual. You must have said to yourself, gee, how disadvantaged can I get?
Oh, no, I thought I hit the jackpot.
Oh, great.
If it's so outrageous, you cannot go any further, you know. So you had to find a way to use it.
James Baldwin, who are you?
First of all, I'm speaking as an American citizen. I'm speaking as also as a grandson of a slave.
My mother was born in Maryland. My father was born in New Orleans. I was born in New York.
Someone who represents a very complex country which insists on being simple-minded.
So when he says that the artist's struggle for their integrity must be considered as a metaphor for the struggle which is universal and daily of all human beings to get to become human beings, for me, that really is about how all of us as artists aren't really trying to become better kind of practitioners, but actually become better people. And that's why I'm grateful that when an artist sees a challenge, they try to help him fix it. This quest within my own work is really about me trying to figure out how to become my best self. And I think part of that is just through the choices I make on a day-to-day, and sometimes it's realized through the work that I manifest. I found, though, in my practice that it's not enough for me to just make stuff and hopefully sell it. It's much more interesting in a lot of ways for me to invite other people to collaborate with me in the creative process. So I did a collaborative installation called The Truth Booth with Ryan Alexiev and Jim Ricks and Will Sylvester, which we traveled to 35 states last year, but also to different parts of the world. And it's an invitation for people to come in and share the truth from their perspective. And we were in Detroit last summer, and this young person went into the booth and shared a really powerful truth.
The Muslims that are so-called terrorists are not Muslims. Please believe me, I am a Muslim myself. The Muslims are kind and nice people. They are giving and they pray to God five times a day, the same God that you have, the same God Jewish people have, the same God Christians have. We're all the same. We don't need to hate. This is a free country, and we should be good.
And so, I don't think that I could have made that without him. And so I think in all of my work, it really is this attempt to actually listen and to grow through collaborations and conversations with people who actually, I don't know his name and I never met. But what he's doing is expressing a level of critical thinking. So often as Americans, many of us are kind of led into a certain allegiance when we're not even sure what we're being allied to. And so there's a movie called Head of State, and this is one of my favorite lines from any movie ever.
Our American children's futures are at stake here. Now I say we need to study this issue and appropriate legislation that will return us to an America that we can be proud of. God bless America and no place else.
It's so simple, but so true. Because unfortunately, as we believe in nation states, there isn't a system or an idea for everyone to be benefit and to prosper. So I can only prosper at your expense. And we forget often that our society, our country, is made up of imaginary lines that actually change quite frequently. And that people die and have died trying to cross those lines and trying to create those lines. But at some point, we have to start to search for a broader, more connected freedom, because unlike maybe people and certain animals today, the air travels, the water travels, and that there's nothing that's done here that doesn't affect everyone else on the planet, and nothing that's done anywhere else that doesn't affect us. And so I take my inspiration from any number of things, but I do think it's critical as a person who identifies as an American and is an American citizen, that I look at myself and my country as a springboard, because it's my orientation for how I see the world. And some of the first words I learned about my country were these three words, we the people, which are the first three words of the preamble to the Constitution. And it's so powerful because we are part of a government that is for the people, by the people, and of the people. And this provocative notion of a country that is represented and run by the people so powerful. And I also think about the country in which that idea was born, where the overwhelming majority of people in that country weren't actually seen as either people or citizens, and that even today in the land of the free, that there are more people incarcerated than there are anywhere else in the world. And so this is a maze that you guys can see that is made up of prison uniforms, and I'm really trying to wrestle with this notion of freedom and independence and equality and the search for that within this system. Part of that is not just a kind of conceptual idea, but it's actually a search for within myself, because society has taught me so much about myself and who I should be, who people will see me as, that it's hard to find out who I am from myself. Like, I don't see what you guys see, I only see what I see. And so my friend Biate Ross-Smith, who's one of my collaborators, has done a project called Our Kind of People, where he asked people to go into their own closets, take different outfits that they might wear on a given day, and by looking at what they might wear on a given day, you get to see how you might relate to them differently. And I think for many of us, we represent many identities within ourselves at a given moment, but unfortunately, because of what we wear on a given day, it might have an incredible negative impact on our lives. And part of that for me is how I kind of been struggling to navigate the world as an African American man who is very aware of society's ideas of who I am and what I am, and also wrestling with my own notions of that. And so one of the ways that I've done that is a collaborative project called Question Bridge Black Males, in collaboration with Biate and Chris Johnson and friend named Kamal Sinclair, and we went around the country. We asked African-American men to ask and answer each other's questions, and we made this kind of stream of consciousness video installation where we're showing that there's as much diversity within any demographic as there is outside of it, because you ask one person a question, you ask five people a question, you'll get five different answers because they're different people. There is no kind of uniform answer that comes out of my skin complexion or my gender identification. And so part of that was really a theory, but then we actually found that to be true. So we went around the country and we literally just video record someone asking a question like this.
You know, I wonder, black man, are you really ready for freedom? And if not, what would it take for you to want and need this freedom?
Good afternoon. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. I'm Jenna, and I'm here with Ruben, and you are listening to our spring membership drive on News and Public Affairs Day. Woohoo! We're asking you to become a member today and help us make our goal of $600 this hour. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Consider coming in at our $25 a month level if you can. And guess what? If you can come in at $25 a month, then you can take away a KBOO hoodie. Woohoo! A KBOO hoodie is as your special thank you gift. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
And you know, all the cool kids are wearing the KBOO hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, especially yeah. Right around the station.
And you don't want to be left out of the cool kids club.
No, you don't. Because the cool kids all contribute to KBOO.
They're also standing members of KBOO.
That's right. At KBOO, we have a variety of programming. If you've been listening with us for the past hour now, you would have heard two different programs. So we do things all across the map, and we're completely volunteer run, and so we need your support and your membership to help us deliver mm-hmm. quality and diverse programming to you. So call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, or go online at kboo.fm and click the donate button.
Yes, well, you're sitting around in your hoodie or sitting around thinking about how you don't have a hoodie. If you just came in at $25 a month, you could have a hoodie while you're listening to KBOO programming. You know, you can be listening right now if you're not a member. How about that? Yeah, we're going to talk to those who are not a member and are sitting around thinking, man, I could be sitting around in a hoodie. I could be a member knowing that I'm supporting what I'm listening to right now.
I got to say, I think the hoodie is cooler than a Snuggie.
What?
It's way cooler than a Snuggie.
I don't know. Okay, I think a lot of things are cooler than a Snuggie. I'm just going to say that. So if you want something that's cooler than a Snuggie, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266 because, you know, you want to give us a call, not just because you want something cooler than a Snuggie, but because you believe in the type of programming you're listening to right now. I mean, like, you know, this is News and Public Affairs Day, and what we're listening to is a talk about art that goes just beyond, oh, what's pretty? You know, it's about how art relates to identity and all those issues that just have so much to do with how our society functions around itself. So you want that kind of discussion, you believe in that, give us a call, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Now back to that conversation with Hank Willis Thomas.
And then we take that question, this time we recorded in Birmingham, Alabama in 2008, and then Chris Johnson, one of my collaborators, started teaching meditation in San Francisco County Jail. And so in 2009, we took that question on a laptop to someone sitting in jail, and they answered the question.
Am I ready for freedom? And what would it take for me to want that freedom? First, I would have to stop and ask myself, that's a tough question. Because freedom to me is a mind state. You know, because you got some people that's not in jail, that's not free. You know, you got people that's in prison in dysfunctional relationships. You got people that's in prison with jobs. They work 9 to 5 that they don't like. Some people are in prison with alcohol and drug abuse. So I would have to really ask myself, what's in prison in me? And what's been in prison in me is my self-esteem, my lack of self-esteem. My lack of self-esteem has led me to commit crime, to hurt people, to manipulate people, right? Because if I love myself, there's no way I could walk outside this room and punch somebody if I'm esteemed within myself. So to be free to me would have to be, I would have to change, you know? So in order for me to grow, I'd have to change, because if change is necessary for growth, in order for me to grow, I would have to adapt the mentality of something that's got to change in me. I would have to change my mind state. I'd have to change the way I talk. I'd have to change the people I interact with. That would be free.
So we interacted with about 150 men when we did this project, and I was shocked every time, because sometimes their question would seem generic on the surface, like, you know, are you ready for freedom? Which I was like, how do you answer that? And then seeing the context and seeing this person literally, we showed it to him and we're recording while we were showing it to him. So this is his answer 3 seconds later. This incredibly thoughtful, I think, and profound response to what I thought was a simplistic question, which really opened up a lot of doors for conversation as far as him being aware of his current situation, perhaps how he got there and what he might need to do to change it, but also recognizing that his isn't the only form of imprisonment. And I think this idea of constantly taking opportunities to learn from people who I think have nothing to teach me, like little boys or people that are in jail, I think I've really grown a lot as a person, and I hope that through the work that I do inspires myself and others to always keep their eyes and ears open and invite new opportunities for conversation. Part of that also comes from me traveling and interacting with artists like Nicholas Lobo from South Africa, who said something that just, it haunted me the moment it came out of his mouth. He said, "We have to live in tomorrow before you get there, because that way you won't be surprised when you get there." I thought that was really important and powerful. I was like, what does it mean to live in tomorrow before you get there? And he followed up, he said, because the challenge in South Africa post-apartheid was that people weren't living in the freedom, so when it happened, they didn't know what to do with it. Again, like, what does it mean if we say we want to be free, we want to live in this kind of society, this kind of world, but we're so busy wrestling with the world that we have right now? Is it possible to live in tomorrow? And I think as an artist, that's essential, because frankly, most of the things that we make are for tomorrow. It's rare that you're going to make something in your studio and then even the same day, much less the next week, maybe year, that it'll have the real impact. It's so oftentimes when we interact with works of art, we don't get it until a decade or two or three or a century later. And I think that's also very important for us to be aware of, that we're not just responding to the present moment, because the present moment is going to be the past any moment. He also said one more thing that I thought was critical. He said, "It's up to me whether I choose to be a sellout or a comrade. I may not want to sing your song." And that he came, he said that because someone in the crowd challenged him. They're like, "As a black artist in South Africa, don't you feel like you need to do this and do this and do this?" And he's just like, "No, that's not my responsibility to do what you want me to do as an artist. It's my responsibility to do what I want to do. And even if that means that I might be a sellout in your eyes." And to me, that profound standing in your ground and being willing to take the heat because of what you believe is so important. And that's where I come back to different things within my work. Like, and I also think about that in this picture of my mom. And I always point out that is my mom naked, in case you don't. That's actually how I got here. I'm in the picture too, and my dad. But the text you can't really read, it says, "A woman taking space from a good man." I'll give you the context for it. So basically, my mother studied photography, and when she was your age, as an undergraduate student, one of her professors, her male professor, said that, "You know, I don't even know why you're here. You're just taking the space of a good man. You're just going to, as soon as you graduate, you're going to get..." I've seen girls like you before. You're going to graduate, get pregnant, and then, you know, a good man's not going to get his opportunity to get his education. And so a year after, I guess, she graduated, she got pregnant, and here I came, and she was struggling with that anxiety. And so many years later, she made this work where it says, "A woman taking space from a good man. You took the space from a good man. I made space for a good man." And for me, that was really amazing to see how she, as a person, was able to actually kind of accept what maybe someone was saying and also take it many steps further. And that process started a lot earlier than that, actually. It started when she was a little girl and was curious and wanting to find out and share things about the world and became interested in photography because she'd seen images in a library of African Americans that were very different than what mainstream society was depicting of African Americans. So when she got to school, she asked about the history of black photographers within her work, within her classes, because there were very few black photographers spoken about in photo history class. And her professor, like any good professor, suggested that she do an independent study project.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KABU Community Radio. It is our spring membership drive on KABU News and Public Affairs Day. I'm Jen, and I'm here with Lawrence. We're asking you to become, not Lawrence, Ruben.
You have one
of those names. You have the two first names.
I do.
Oh, man.
I answer to both.
Well, we're asking you, our listeners, who maybe you have two first names, or maybe you have one of the first name, last name names. Who knows? Well, either way, we're asking you to become a member today and help us make our goal of $600 this hour. We're asking you, maybe if you can come in at our $20 a month, consider giving us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Give us a call because you support the powerful, powerful conversation that you're hearing right now from the artist Hank Willis Thomas that was recorded at Oregon State University. You know, he's a visual artist who, if you have no idea who this artist is, I really recommend do some Googling and just see the powerful imagery that he creates that is around identity and just around the type of conversations that, you know, that you want to be hearing about, but just beyond what's pretty, but what is profound? What is speaking to people's modern American experience? So you value this type of programming. Show your support. 877-500-5266.
At KABU, we've historically produced more programs that center on local arts and culture than any other outlet. And we continue to lead the Portland radio community in this respect. So, yeah, make the decision. Become a part of KABU and support us. We're a great station. We're part of your community. Become a KABU member now. Call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KABU, or go online at kabu.fm and click the donate button. And Jenna, what are we doing right now in terms of giveaways?
Oh, we got, if you can come in at that $20 a month, we still got those tickets to the Chris Hedges talk that's happening there on Friday, May 26th at the Aladdin. We also have a conversation with Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco the next day on May 27th. And it's called Stop Fascism. So if you can come in at $20 a month, then you can get a pair of tickets to those, which we know is an event that's going to be sold out. So call today before that is sold out. You can get those exclusive tickets. You know, that kind of is a furthering of this type of discussion that we're having right now. You know, we'll make some connections here, right? We're talking about art, but it's about, you know, we're talking about stopping fascism. We're talking about stopping everything that is stopping our democracy. And it's amazing how these days we see that artists, you know, when we say, oh, fascism is sneaking, we see that conversation around art gets stopped because art is actually about identity. It's actually about people living truth. And we know that here, and let's just put it out there. Whitelandia, we live in the city of Whitelandia that likes to have this idea that artists of color don't have a voice, that maybe they don't even exist in this city. But here at KABU, we make sure that those discussions, the ones that are actually happening here in our state, the ones that we say aren't happening, but are actually happening, and we are actually having, communities of color of here are having rich discussions around identity, around what it is to be a person of color here in Portland, about what it is to be an artist. And so KABU is bringing you this type of program because these are the discussions that, whether or not you're a person of color, whatever, you want to know that these conversations are happening within your community.
Yeah,
because
it's important.
Yes, 877-500-5266. Again, just pick up your smartphone. Do it with me. Here we go. Pick up that phone right now. Let's do it together. 877-500-5266. Or go online to kboo.fm and become a sustaining member today. If you can do it, $20 a month, you can do it.
One of the things I love about an artist like the one we're listening to right now is, I mean, we all know the concept of how, what is it? Art imitates life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that art is so important because often it's through art that we first get exposed to controversial or new ideas, mm-hmm. or that maybe a major problem we have in society gets called out. So eventually, like, you start producing controversial art like this. After a while, life starts to imitate the art. And so I think that art can be a great vessel for positive change.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, and speaking of change, if you have any change, call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KABU, or go online at kabu.fm and click the donate button.
And maybe this is a change you need to be making in your life. Maybe you've just been listening to KABU and you've not been a member before and you're listening right now and you're like, I need to make a change. I can't just keep listening here and listening to all this great programming and just mooching off of everybody else.
I became a supporting member and it felt really good.
Right, make that change. Make that change right now so you can have that feeling, that great feeling of, I'm a sustaining member. That's a change I'm going to make. I am going to show my bank account where my support is and what I value. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Help us make that $600 goal. And yeah, get those phones ringing. Help us out. You know, it's Friday.
We want to ring that bell.
It's Friday. You're done with work. Give us a call.
Because it's their work. And so she said, she wrote this proposal. It says, I found no standard art history that refers to Afro-American artists. References have led me to more references, which are scanty. I've written 50 letters to possible resources and I've had enthusiastic feedback. And then she goes on to list the first 10 photographers that she wanted to kind of explore and meet. So she traveled the country and met many people. And along the way, I was born and I grew up. And that book, 10 years later, led to, that research project led to her first book, Black Photographers, 1840-1940, Bibliography. And then that led later to her next book, Black Photographers, 1940-1988, which led to her next book, and 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 her next book. And then, along the way, I guess I picked it up. and so that's her making space for, quote unquote, a good man. I mean, she's biased, obviously, and also right. but that became, that's like, so I share that because, like, the work, a lot of you are struggling, like, what am I doing? Where am I going to go? But you have to accept that the work that you're doing right now is not only the work of tomorrow, it's your work, maybe for the rest of your life. And so embrace that curiosity and the wonder because you're not sure where it'll take you and who it'll affect. And so within, I didn't really want to be a photographer, but somehow I wound up in photo school. And I started to look back at my early photographs. I started to recognize a pattern. I'd always see frames within frames. And I think that I was always curious about how the frame of something affects my notion of the world and reality or the truth. And so that I'd go to my classmates and I'd give them a frame and ask them to take a picture with me, and then I give them a frame, and it became a collaborative process of taking pictures with other people. And really, I was highlighting a lot of about how what's going on outside the frame is equally as important, if not more important, than what's going on inside the frame. One of the pictures that really crystallized a lot of the things that I was thinking about is this image up with my mom, actually, where I thought she was being lazy when she put the frame over her shoulder. But in the 15th of a second that I took the picture, someone walking down a busy street in New York wearing a red hat just like her looked into a dark restaurant, into a frame, into my camera. And so many things had to go right to make that image work. And so there's such incredible chance and serendipity that actually goes into making anything. And so my curiosity about how things are framed and the truth is framed is really kind of crystallized in that moment. I can't help but to be following in her footsteps. And so seeing the many other selves in me, I take inspiration from other artists like Sanford Biggers, who I asked to pose for this image, where his work, he's lived in Japan and Poland and Italy. He went to Morehouse University. He's African-American from LA. And he's always really done a lot of work about hybridity within cultures and within himself. And so I asked him to take a picture, painted half black, half white, as a reference to the hybridity. And then when you're looking at it directly, it's blurry, and then when you look at it from the side, it's clear. And part of that is this reference to how you can't really see anything clearly unless you try to navigate around it. You still may not see it entirely. And that also relates to my own cultural identity as an African American. I've often been asked, where do I come from? And when I say New York, that's not enough. Or when I say Washington or Virginia, that's not enough. And so I made this sculpture a place to call home, Africa, America. Because in a sense, everywhere we come from is in our imagination. It is a mythology. And so why not make it for ourselves if we need to locate it somewhere? And thinking a lot about how I could use icons and shape and change them subtly to make other conversations. When I was in, when I first started grad school, I'd never learned how to paint or draw. And I came to school as a photographer with the work that you saw. And I was trying to make other work. And I remember all my classmates saying about my work, like, there was only one other photographer in my class. And so everyone else was an artist. And they were like, I like that you printed it big. And I like that there's red in this picture. And I was like, well, thank you. And so I was really struggling to connect with my peers. You know, I was complaining because there are no photographers. They don't understand what I'm doing. And then for some reason, I was reading a book called Michael Jordan and the New Transnational Economy. And it talked about how as a Nike went from a $10 million company when he signed on in 1984 to a $10 billion company when he retired in 2003. And I started also thinking about I was reading about the history of lynching and started thinking about how someone like him, born in the segregated South, might have been treated at a different period of time. And so I also was thinking about logos as our generation's hieroglyphs. And so I opened Microsoft Word and made a tree in clip art and scanned a shoebox and got it screen printed. And all of a sudden, my classmates were able to actually talk about my ideas. And they were like, oh, whoa. And it was really fascinating for me to realize that sometimes you have to make work. If you really want to get something out of your audience, you're going to have to go out of your comfort zone. And this became really a tool for me to really think more about media culture and popular culture and how I could use the language of advertising to talk about things that advertising couldn't responsibly talk about. And so I started thinking about how slaves were branded as a sign of ownership, also scarification, but also thinking about how we live in an age of branded consciousness where so much of what we value is shaped by notions related to commodity culture and how the idea of ascension and excelling can be chained to certain ideas. And so I was also really thinking also about the society of the spectacle and how, again, how those bodies could be treated. And the power of using advertising, the language that we almost all speak, to say things. So you don't necessarily even have to speak a language or read the language to understand an ad or to decode it. I thought it was really profound. And also dealing with really, I think, critical issues that we're still, again, not ready for. So in a society that says it doesn't condone violence, we give children license to create scenarios based around violence before they can even really read. But also I started thinking a lot even more recently about how certain children are treated in our society and how notions of who belongs where can actually get ingrained in their minds at a very young age. And part of that is through looking at images that I find. And this is an image that I found in 1965 Life magazine, and I turned it into a mirror. So when you look at the part that I cropped out of these two boys with the police officer apparently getting arrested, the caption said, two little prisoners. You can't help but to ask a lot of questions, like, why was this picture necessary, and to serve what, and how did it affect not only their versions of themselves, but also the way that society treated them and that they navigated society. And so more and more recently, I've been really interested in looking not only at history through images that I've taken or that I've come about, but also images that other people have taken. And so, and by putting them in mirrors, I'm asking myself and viewers to really step a little bit closer, because so often when we look at historical images, we want to pretend it's over there and not us. And somehow in this simple gesture, it brings us a step closer. So this is an image by Spider Martin of Amelia Boynton, who in her 50s was still fighting for the right to vote in her country, the land of the free. And in the movie Selma, you'll see the dramatization of a lot of what happened, where people came collectively in the hundreds to protest for the right to vote in the United States, and met pretty fierce brutality by the people who are sworn to protect them. And sometimes I think justice isn't as simple as we would like it to believe it is. And so this is an image called the 2-minute warning that really changed almost everything, because it was a clear example of people actually trying to do what's best for all Americans with love and nonviolence and patience, and actually facing a pretty daunting reality. And it's through these images and the brutality that I think America was changed. But thinking about what was happening and why there was such tension, there was people who were afraid that if African Americans were given the right to vote, that they might somehow be losing something. And then there were people who felt like the country that they were born in doesn't represent them. But they also had faith and made statements, as many people are doing today and have always done, trying to find this greater equality for all of us. And sometimes we're made to feel that certain things aren't our issues. But for me, this picture really says a lot, that somebody who I don't believe is African American walked 50 miles on one leg for an issue that some people wouldn't say was his. We talk about Black History Month pretending that, you know, it's not just American history. It's American. Black history is American history, and American history is Black history, and all humanity is connected. And I find these images to be profound, because so often we're led to promote and celebrate the heroes, but I think the heroes are often people whose names we don't know and will never know. And finding in these images like this of Martin Luther King reclining, because he wasn't always giving fantastical speeches, that he was yet a human being. And also these really beautiful, decent women trying to protect their own safety and dignity, but through images that to me seem pretty harsh and horrible, through signs. But also, what does it mean when do we see images of men together holding hands today in our society, and what might have changed in that period? But when I go out of the United States, I actually get to see a lot more. When I look at images from apartheid South Africa, like this one by a photographer named Catherine Ross, I'm incredibly impacted by the gestures of the people that she captured in this photograph. The fact that someone felt it necessary to, after being arrested in a pretty intense situation, put their arm through the breathing hole of a police vehicle, not knowing if anyone would ever see it, not knowing if their arms were going to get broken or what else might happen to them, and if it would ever matter at all to anyone, they made this gesture. And that seemed to me so profound, this gesture that symbolized unity and power. And I thought it was also so surreal, so I wanted to revisit it and remake it, and so I remade it as a sculpture that forced me and I think viewers to actually come closer to it and deal with this kind of absurdity, this surrealness of this image and this moment. And so much of my work is trying to bring history present, trying to bring myself and viewers back in conversation with things that actually seem so far away. So this other element of this photograph, which you see that's on the left side, where people are putting their hands through the breathing holes and reaching out and trying to make gestures and build connections, I take a lot of inspiration from that, because I think there is this message to us that people who have come collectively for human rights, but also anonymously, are really making. And by taking it out of the historical archival context and calling it, framing it as art.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. Join your friends and neighbors and become a member of our powerful radio community. I'm Ruben, and I'm here with Jenna, and this is our spring membership drive. We're asking you to become a member today and to help us make our goal of $600 this show.
$600?
Call us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU. Or go online at kabu.fm and click the donate button.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this, you know, when I, the English. Oh my God, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited about today, because today is KBOO News and Public Affairs Day. And if you're a regular listener to KBOO, then you know that you can tune in the evenings to hear Rube and I on the air, as we are both newsroom volunteers at KBOO, which is why we're on the air today to tout our love of public affairs and news here. And, you know, KBOO is so unique in what they choose to bring you in programming. And that's what people love about KBOO. That's what you love about. That's why you're tuned in right now, because you are not going to hear this type of programming on any other station in Portland. Let me tell you, I've dared to change the dial and was like, oh my gosh, you get interviews that are about like 5 minutes long. You get these really shallow interviews with the same people that we hear
every time. I change the dial.
I know.
You know, I'm like 5 minutes away and then I'm like, it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it.
You just keep trying and it's just not worth it.
No, and you're like, okay, well, I'll just go back to cable because I know it'll be okay.
But what is worth it is if you got $5 kicking around.
Oh, yeah.
Start off with that. $5 a month. Call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, or go online at kboo.fm and click donate.
What do you think about $5 a month? That's not too bad. You know, if right now, if you have employment and you can come in, it's only $60 a year. I mean, $5 a month, when I think about
it's
coffee, right?
It's tax deductible.
And it's right. Okay, so when you think about that, do you want to be giving the $5 to Uncle Sam, who is not doing all the things you want with your money right now? You know that. Or you can give it to KBOO, and this is what we do with it. We bring you this type of programming. We bring you really interesting and powerful discussions with artists such as Hank Wills Thomas. You know, he's actually from the East Coast, but everything he has to say is so important and totally applies to all the artists that we have here in Portland. You know, one thing I love about Portland is that we are a small town. We're a small, big town, but we have such a rich diversity of artists. If you really look around, and KBOO tries to bring you all those different voices to remind you, we are not just some crazy homogenous Whitelandia that people want to see. No, we actually have a diversity of voices, and KBOO's behind this. So if you can come in at that $5 a month level and, you know, and just say, this is where I want my taxes to not go. This is where I want my money to not go. I want to go to KBOO. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Become a member today.
I think people are allowed to think deeper and to engage more closely with these images and these ideas that these people were fighting for. But also there's images that I've always struggled to deal with and look at, like this image by Ernest Cole of miners being strip searched, which I couldn't help but always, when I looked at it, gawking at their butts and feeling guilty that maybe I am participating in their subjugation by just even looking at the image. And so when I wanted to remake it, I thought that I had to change that. And so when I changed it, I cropped it at the shoulders and I titled it Raise Up, thinking that maybe by reframing and recropping it, I could give it a new life. And about 6 months after I made this piece, the events in Ferguson, Missouri happened, and it was retitled in the United States as the Hands Up, Don't Shoot piece. And I was really kind of amazed that I could be making something about something that happened 50 years ago somewhere else, and it could speak so eloquently to something that was really going to happen in the future halfway across the world. And so I think when we make work, we can't always tell when it's going to matter, if it's going to matter. And I don't know if that always does matter. I think a lot about photographs like this of things that should have never happened, should never happen again. And when I revisit them, looking at these children's hands on barbed wire, recognize that they are still happening and continue to happen in just slightly different ways, and maybe we're not doing enough or much more to change that. I get a lot of inspiration also through people, once again, like saying when enough is enough. We can be angry with our political situation, but the real power is always in the hands of the people, and that was evidenced in Berlin, Germany in 1989, when people came together and said they'd had enough. And one of the images that really struck me from that moment was this person standing on top of the Berlin Wall, touching someone on the ground. And the profoundness of that really reminded me a lot of the Sistine Chapel and this idea of the creation, because it is always about this need and this work to connect that I think is so important. And as viewers, they not only get to see the photograph, but they get to almost walk into it and walk around the specific element that I'm propping out of it. And I take that into different forms. I'm also very much inspired by sports and athletes, partially because they can make magic, really, and that magic can change the world. So much of the fight for equality in the United States happened because of sports, because people were able to kind of prove themselves on an equal playing field. And so I think a lot about, like, you know, Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali and other athletes, but also Title IX in college campuses, that so many things that couldn't be argued in any other way were able to become argued through sports. And this is a picture that I titled Liberty, inspired by this photograph of a Harlem Globetrotter. And this idea that sports isn't just about maybe what it seems to be as the goal in that moment, but it's also about the quest to become our better selves through teamwork and also challenging ourselves in any moment, and hopefully proving to the world that we are worth fighting for, supporting, and looking after. So my work, as you can tell, takes a broad range of things. There's a lot more work that I can't show, but I wanted to show you a few more clips from the Truth Booth because I just love it.
The truth is, I am a tomboy, and I hate pink, and I hate princesses. That's the truth.
So we took it to Ireland and had all these great people come into the booth. We took it to Detroit. We took it to New York. I later made an installation with Ryan where we wrote this text in the 24 most spoken languages in New York and made these street signs and said things like, "The truth is, I miss you," on one side in English, and then might say something in another language, this is German, says, "The truth is, I need you," and there would be placards that teach you how to say one thing in someone else's language. And the idea is that if you learn how to say one thing in someone else's language, no matter how poor you might say it, you're actually building a bridge and closing a gap. And this need for all of us to recognize that our perspective is valid, but also sometimes we need to go out of our comfort zone. So making that with sculptures like these benches that also kind of are a place for people to inhabit and to engage was part of the work, but also a tree, which maybe was cheesy, but I couldn't help it. I made a tree that says, "The truth is, I love you." And I think that's because every time I get to spend time with strangers, I find out that I love them. And the need to see images in the public that aren't just about selling something, but hopefully are just trying to make a positive impact in someone else's life. That happens for me through all the work I do, but I really just love the generosity of the people who go inside the Truth Booth.
The truth is not to be discovered, because it was there before we were born. It hid itself when we were born, and it only comes out again once we are dead. I'm nearly dead, so the truth will shortly emerge.
I believe the truth is struggle to find what it really is.
The truth is really small. It's very hard to see. But if you look really, really close, you will find the truth. And it's all around.
It is true that I've got a girlfriend that is named Rian. And it is true that my favorite animal is a dolphin, okay? And that's all I wanted to say.
The truth is, Molly, you're a bitch.
Truth is that I want to be an actor, a dancer, a singer, but I'm not sure how to get into the business. I've joined Trading Places, and, well, I've joined the agency of Zaire, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get into the... Well, I am in the agency, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get anything out of it. And I just really want to be an actress, especially, or maybe a beautician, or a singer, maybe, or maybe a dancer, but I'm not sure how to get in. That's the truth. This is an Accident Team production. I'll say hello to Melody, she's my little doggy, and all my other pets. And my parents. Peace out.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is our spring membership drive. I'm Jenna, and I'm here with Ruben. We're asking you to become a member today and help us make our goal of $600 this hour during this special with Hank Willis Thomas, which is, you're listening to a speech done by the artist at Oregon State University a few weeks ago. And let's see, how much do we think? Let's talk about the amazing KBOO hoodie again.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
That you can take as a thank you gift. You can come in, right?
And as I said earlier, it's way cooler than a Snuggie.
It's way cooler than a Snuggie.
Without any irony.
I love that. I love that because I have to admit, I use a Snuggie at home.
Well, they're practical.
And so now I'm realizing I could be cooler and have a hoodie if I could come in at the $25 a month level. If you can do that, give us a call. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Or go online to kboo.fm. We have volunteers waiting to take your call, ready to take your call for you to sign up today, become a sustaining member of KBOO Community Radio, because you support the type of stuff you're listening to right now, that speech with Hank Willis Thomas, and also because you're a fan of the KBOO hoodie. $25 a month. Give us a call at 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and KBOO, as I said this before, KBOO has produced more programs that center on local arts and culture than any other outlet. So we're continuing to do this, and these kind of programs about the arts are a fundamental part of the overall programming that we do at the station. So your donation, your support helps us continue to do this type of programming and keep this arts programming and the entire wide variety of programming that we do beaming it out onto the airs to you. So call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, or go online at kboo.fm and click the donate button.
You know, KBOO empowers its listening community to reject the notion that they are passive consumers of media. And, you know, if you're tuned in right now, which you are, of course, because you're listening to me right now, when you turned into this, you know, you probably thought, okay, well, this should be an interesting discussion. And the discussion just keeps going and keeps going. And, you know, when KBOO decides, like, what do we put on the air? There's so much that we can put on the air. And we have to choose. We have to pick and choose what we put in the air. You know, we say, okay, what is a powerful discussion? And this is a powerful discussion. This is an artist who's talking about more than just their journey. They're talking about the power of art, the power of identity, yes. The power of having the discussion around art, not just creating it, but to discuss where it comes from. These sorts of things are just the type of discussions that you want to have a diversity of listening throughout
Absolutely.
The day when you're tuned in, and maybe you're tuned in on the radio or at kbo.fm, and you're listening and you're saying, wow, maybe you're not an artist, but you know that that discussion about art is important, that understanding the role of art in our society today. I mean, when we're in the, oh my God, the scary time of, oh my God, fascism is on our doorstep, or is it here, maybe it's here, how important it is to continue to support art and to continue to support this type of programming. Let's face it, radio is an art. So you support that art. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Consider coming in at that $25 a month level or whatever level feels comfortable for you. We always say, hey, maybe an hour's wage, whatever you can afford right now, consider coming in at a sustaining member. And know that you are the one who's literally putting this programming on the air today. 877-500-5266.
One of the things I hear about all the time now is people are always asking, I don't know what to do. You know, there's all kinds of craziness happening in the world right now, in the country. What can I do? I'm just one person. And becoming a sustaining member of a station like KBOO is one of those things that you can do. It may seem small, but your support is what allows us exactly. to remain independent, which is so important, especially in times like this. So take some time and become a sustaining member today. Call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Or go online at kboo.fm and click the donate button.
$25 a month. Consider that if you can come in, that ends up coming out to $300 a year. Now that $300 or $25 a month, you know, as we talked about before, it could go to taxes. Or it could go by sitting in your bank and like helping your bank make money. Or you can take that money, if you can afford it right now, and you can put it towards something that you believe in, those things that you understand are what make you have a more powerful community, which make you have a more powerful culture and a more powerful voice. Show your dollars where you want that voice to be. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. Give us a call. We got volunteers waiting to make you a member today, because this is what is important. This is absolutely at the heart of KBOO is art. It's about discussions. It's about
controversy
and unraveling philosophy.
We love that around here.
And upholding all these values that are just so important, which is the reason why you tune into KBOO every single day. 877-500-5266. Going to do it one more time. Let's do it together on the smartphone. 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO today.
The truth, I believe, is little. Lego makes you think small, but believe big. Lego is in all our minds. So the truth is very, very small, but think big. This is very true. Thank you.
I'm still thinking about that, because that kid, every time I've seen it, it just blows my mind. But all of those people, because, as I said, everyone has something critical, important to share, and it doesn't, you can't tell by their age or their skin complexion or their gender, and it's so powerful also to see the way things change depending on where you are. So that was in Ireland.
The truth is that yesterday I came out to my mother as being somebody who is fluid in their sexuality, and that was a really scary thing. So I think that the truth is that we need to be more accepting of people for who they are and the ways that they are. And yeah, the truth is love, and that's all that matters. Well, the truth is, actually my truth is kind of sad. I've had 3 miscarriages, and actually one of them was a stillborn baby, my son. And I guess my truth is that I don't want to try anymore. People are always hopeful, people that know my story, people that know me, always say, don't worry about it, it'll happen. But you know what, that's not my path. So my truth is that I just hope people stop asking me, because I'm good with it, okay?
The truth is, I don't think we need a cure for my son. I am an autistic child, and I know what it's like being autistic, but many people sometimes don't recognize that. I got a great education at special needs school, and I feel as if I'm like other kids, and only defined autistic because of my history in the past.
The truth is that I never look at myself in the mirror because I get depressed about it, because I feel like I'm so ugly. And even if I'm in yoga, I'll just try to avoid the mirror. And if I'm washing my hands in a public bathroom, I'll just avoid the mirror. And I thought, don't touch that, Quincy. I thought maybe that if I said this out loud into a camera, there might be other people here who never like to look in the mirror either, because I've never told anyone that, and I figured this is a place to tell your secret.
The truth is, I've tried to end my life 5 times, and every time I don't succeed, I feel better about myself, and I've overcome it, and I don't wish I was dead anymore, and that's the truth. And I'm happy that I'm a bigger person now.
That was for us. Like, we don't know who she is or where she is, but she wanted us to think that our lives are worth more than we think they are. She is really saying to us that, you know, she has been through an incredible struggle, but that she's really kind of overcome it, and that she sees the value not only of the struggle but of her life. And it was eerie that she just happened to stand so close to the camera that we couldn't see her face.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio at KBOO Portland. The time is 3:59 in just a few seconds there. Coming up next is Democracy Now!
KBOO is a proud media sponsor of the Beaverton Symphony Orchestra's last concert of the season. The performances take place on May 19th and 21st at the VBC Grand Auditorium in Beaverton. They will perform Robert Schumann's first symphony, entitled Spring, as well as Emily Doolittle's composition Green Blue. Doolittle is the latest artist in the Beaverton Symphony Orchestra's Northwest Composers Project. Also, the Young Artist Concerto Competition winners will appear and showcase the young musicians in Washington County. Again, the performances will be on May 19th and 21st at the VBC Grand Auditorium, located at 330 Southwest Murray Boulevard in Beaverton. Detailed information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. More information at 503-788-GROW. And now, your afternoon dose of Democracy Now!
From Los Angeles, this is Democracy Now! Swedish prosecutors have dropped the investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. But could he still be extradited to the